along the Yelm Highway lies Ramtha's house. Jay-Z Knight lives there. It's in between Lacey and the back part of...
So Roz isn't here. I'm sorry. This is usually her intro. But since we're talking about it, I figured we should use the music.
Because it's surrounded by trees.
This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide.
Samantha's rolling in my car.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point I'm going to let you listen to the whole song, but it's not precisely radio safe, so I got to be careful with it. Joining me is Tom. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, doing great.
And Dave, how are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Great.
Last night I went to the symphony with my wife. It's a regular occurrence, and I went to see what I think is, and this is admittedly a very subjective opinion, but... the single greatest piece of music ever written, which is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
I think you share that with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's one of the hits. Like, if you're into classical, that's one of the first ones you learn.
Which one's the ninth one?
That's the Ode to Joy.
Okay, yeah.
Da, 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 yeah, da, da. Okay, yeah.
You know, and the Huntley Brinkley Report.
Yeah.
Oh, from if you're old enough, if you remember that.
Got it.
Actually,
sadly.
The second movement is the Obermann show.
Yeah, well, they took that from Huntley Brinkley.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, no, and I was thinking, it's just like, you know, I think that the Beethoven's Ninth is so famous because it is that good. Like, there's things that are famous just because they happen to scratch a sort of social itch, and then there are things that are actually famous because they actually deserve the acclaim they get. I would say Beethoven's Ninth is the perfect example of that. But I just was wondering about you guys. What do you guys think is the single greatest piece of music? Like, no, like, desert disc, no, like, ooh, picking a top five, just, like, one piece of music that you think just... is better than anything else out there. And I know, Sam, I'm breaking your brain by asking this, but...
yeah, I may have to pass. You warned me that you were going to be answering this question, and I mean, I'm basically at load four right now, because I don't... yeah. I can't... I don't know.
That so depends on my mood, you know? If I'm in, you know, classical mode, sure, Beethoven's Ninth is hard to beat, you know?
Mm.
Sometimes I get a little atonal or... minimalist or King Crimson. Yeah,
well, I am wearing the shirt. I am in fact wearing a King Crimson shirt. I don't know. I think the Beethoven's Ninth is pretty good. I actually kind of like Mozart's Requiem a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to offer that as the best music
that's
ever.
So sad. That's
yeah. Oh. I can't. I don't know, but it's good though. It's nice and multi-layered and all that stuff.
It's a fine night out. If I know, at least in Seattle, the symphony plays it every year, and so if you have a chance, it's worth going to see.
It's such a cop out, but I'm gonna do. It's not a serious answer. You're just asking for an answer.
The Ramtha Shuffle.
Then. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. Clearly, Ramtha Shuffle. Yeah. No, and I'm wearing the King Crimson t-shirt, so I'm just going to cop out. Fracture off of Starless in Bible Black.
Okay.
Last track of that album, which I think on the vinyl was like most of a side. It's like 15 minutes long. But I listened to that song more than I probably should.
All right.
Which is saying something.
I do remember my dad had a copy of the original vinyl of Inagata da Vida. it was literally five songs on one side and that song on the other.
Yeah. So do you have are you going to make, now that I've taken the cheap one, do you have a call on that one or do you want to pass?
Oh, for favorite music or favorite King Crimson music?
Is there a difference?
I mean, you know, Lark's Tongue Part One is pretty but
and that one was actually written, unlike Fracture, which I think was mostly mostly improvisational initially, and then they turned it into a song. Becky wants me to mention This Is the Life by Living Color, which is actually one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
But that's a second song. You wanted one. I'll just go with Fracture.
All right.
That's not a question. Are you inviting other people to sing
your
songs?
Sure. Like, I figure if people want to write into us and throw out their own opinions, I'd actually love to hear them. What do you think is the greatest?
Handel's Messiah this time of year?
Oh.
So, here's the thing. Last year, I did go see Handel's Messiah, and it's the first time I sat for the entirety, not just the Hallelujah chorus, but the entirety of the entire work. And do you know what I've realized? Having it in English really gets in the way. When I can understand what they're saying, it really impedes for me enjoying the music.
It would have been better in German.
Yeah, if it were in German, yeah. I bet I would love it. But this is in English. I just can't get, like, exultings of valleys and blah, blah, blah. No, no, no.
Yeah, I think I read a translation of Ode to Joy poem, you know? It wasn't quite what I expected. I don't recall the specifics now, but it was a little surprising.
I this is a good question, because I was beginning to think that my musical library is getting a little stale. I haven't really bought anything new in a while, so this might be a good opportunity to suggest music that I could listen to, because I kind of need some new stuff.
There you go.
I'm hitting that I'm old enough now that my musical tastes have kind of frozen.
They do. You get to an age, yeah. And it's just like the old stuff, you know?
And I'm challenging that. Screw that noise. I want to hear new things. So Ramtha, we should probably talk about that since, right. So we have an email, or a message at least. This is Brent from Seattle who writes, on your December 23rd show, you said that Jay-Z Knight claims to channel the spirit of a deceased Aztec warrior named Ramtha. This is incorrect. Ramtha is not a deceased Aztec warrior. Ramtha is a deceased Lemurian warrior. Lemuria is a legendary island that has since vanished from the earth like Atlantis. According to Jay-Z, Ramtha was the general of a Lemurian army which fought the Atlanteans 35,000 years ago, through a ring in space or something like that. And then there were Goa'uld. And yeah. Thanks. Keep up the great work. From a longtime listener and part-time cult researcher. Thanks, Brent. Good hearing from you.
Can I just say, Becky, I mean, we love your work, but you made a mistake here. You put something that actually exists in the Ramtha mythology. You have to do better than that.
who says Lemuria exists? I mean, who talks about Lemuria?
Ramtha.
Okay.
Yeah. Ramtha was there. Ramtha saw it and talks a little bit like an American, a Midwestern American's idea of an English guy. It's so weird when Jay-Z channels a general from a planet. Wait, no, a country, continent, landmass that doesn't exist.
It's a living.
I don't know. Have you seen it? It's quite a living.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to say, I used to drive. I was a driver for years, and I used to drive past Ramtha's House of Enlightenment every day for a couple years.
Is that near here?
No, near here. It's in Yelm. It's south of here, about 45 minutes. But yeah.
Wait, what was it? South on the Yelm Highway?
Exactly.
Yeah, play that again.
It's not wrong. It's exactly where that is. And yeah, I used to deliver to a assisted living home that was about, a quarter mile up the street from it. And so I'd drive.
The first time,
this is before I even knew about it. And
right.
So the first time I saw this, like, gorgeous grounds and this giant sign that says Ramtha's House of Enlightenment and everything. And then I noticed these giant barbed wire fences surrounding this massive compound. Hey. I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
I've driven past it, but I don't think I've driven past the entrance. I didn't know it said Ramtha's House of Enlightenment.
Oh, yes. Big sign that says that.
And does it say also pancakes?
No, is this from
it's burgers now.
Oh, right.
Giving readings, selling books. Where's this money coming from?
Well, the barbed wire around the compound suggests something or someone is being kept in or out. So I can't imagine that
Ramtha
has something to do
They're
with
keeping
it.
Ramtha in
yeah.
there?
We're just saying Ramtha has
Ramtha
a
wants
35,
to escape?
35,000-year-old Lemurian view on slavery.
Does Ramtha... Oh, very nice.
That is satire. Please don't sue me.
Oh, is Ramtha known for...
Jeremy downstairs was actually saying that Ramtha actually will sue other people for claiming to speak, or Jay-Z Knight, I should say, will sue other people for claiming to speak through Ramtha, like speak in Ramtha's voice, because apparently that's a trademark.
A feeling is coming over.
Oh, so
I feel like I'm being invaded by a foreign intelligence.
Why is she not suing Ramtha if he's the one wandering to other people, mediums?
I cannot improve on Jeremy's answer, which is, Ramtha doesn't have any money.
Okay.
I'm receiving messages from Ramtho.
Hey,
Ramtha's...
There's a seeker born every minute. I'm sure there's somebody who will...
Ramtha's loser brother, whose UFO is up on blocks in his driveway. He's going... Shut up about Lemuria. Okay, I'm done. All right, I've done it.
Henry David Ramthoreau.
I would not read that, Walden. But is that Walden negative 5,000? Is that what that is? we have another email. This is Alex from the Twitter, not this one. Jesus was the Christ. Christians are his followers. You should probably not opine on something you know nothing about.
Because there's nothing Christians are known for other than opining on things they know nothing about.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, do they know about the Bible?
Well, that's just it, though. I mean,
One
thing I have noticed is that a lot of the people who sit in these chairs who were formerly religious, know their book better than or their former book better than the people who still claim to believe in it.
I believe there's even a study about that, like definitively, well, I wouldn't say definitively proved, but gave a lot of very good data on the idea that atheists are more versed in religious texts than the people who purport to follow them.
Is it that the people who get educated fall away from religion, or people who specifically read the book, that book, fall away from it?
I would suggest it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I read the Bible. It's not very good. like people can talk, like, and can hate on it and want to spank it and whatever. The Bible. And it's like, okay, yeah, the book itself, it's just a book. I mean, it's the people who I got the problem with. But the book itself, it's just, I don't know, not that good. Stephen King's better. I don't even like Stephen King that much. So yeah, I mean, it's been a while since we've got a drive-by Jesus-ing. So
hey, I'm just saying, if you want to read a story about a supernatural figure who believes in the goodness of man dying and then being put in a tomb, and then they go and searching that tomb and find it empty, The Death of Superman is a really great comic. Like, it's really worth looking at.
Mike, when did you get here? were they do you think they might have been stealing from the Western canon a little bit there?
As a friend of mine who was very religious at the time put it, if you're gonna steal from a story, you might as well steal from the greatest story ever told. Okay. I'll give him credit, that's a good line.
Yeah. A lot of literature does,
right?
So the greatest story ever told, I didn't realize they were borrowing from Babylon 5. Hey! This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Nazis and apps and viruses. Oh, my.
This is a public service announcement from the Camp Quest Northwest Science Detachment.
Squid ink is 9% botulinum toxin, 80% potassium chloride, 8% uranium, 0.5% mace, 0.5% VX nerve agent, and 0.00099% tear gas.
Side effects may include nausea, hives, rash, glowing, rapid loss of wealth, and an intense fear.
Even though squid ink may sound like a cool thing to try, do not try it or else you will die.
This has been a public service announcement from the Camp Quest Northwest Science Detachment.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We have another email somewhere. Ah, here we go. Yeah, this is Randy from Twitter, who writes, "Your absence on December 16th was missed. Didn't want to be pushy and be screaming, 'Where are you?' Figured there must be a good reason. Thanks and happy holidays." So just a little bit of an announcement. Yeah, we actually did skip the show on December 16th because we were in Seattle getting the equipment for our next studio. For KTQA, which will be the home station for Ask an Atheist. We had to do it on a Sunday, and that was really the only Sunday available. And, we were thinking about, recording around it, but it's December, and two, it's hard enough to field just a group of three on Sundays in December, for the show, but especially on an off day, because it's the holidays and everybody's with either gone or with family or whatnot, and it just wasn't in the cards, and we just never put it together.
And Sam, I'm really impressed at how rarely you actually do skip weeks. It's really good.
It's kind of it's a lot
better than Rachel Maddow.
it's a bit of a point of pride for me, and I mean, there's also, I mean, just personally, there's benefit in having some structure in my life, like at all. Any structure, this is it. I'm a consulting nerd, and so I work mostly alone and at odd hours, and it's a different schedule every week. This is my the linchpin of my world is, and that's part of the reason why I think I keep doing it. I mean, so but the other thing is, if you're gonna do a show. You know, that's always been a thing. Anyway, so I'm not going to do it in the order that I suggested, but an app created by the Indonesian government now allows members of the public to instantaneously report religious heresy. In addition to letting users report groups practicing non-sanctioned religions, including animistic beliefs, the Smart Pakem app lists fatwas as well as blacklisted organizations. The Jakarta Prosecutor's Office designed the app to educate the public and modernize the current reporting process, which requires a written complaint submitted through government offices. While atheism is not outlawed per se, blasphemy is illegal, and all Indonesians must abide by the state ideology known as Pancasila, whose first principle is belief in the one and only God. Indonesia sanctions only 7 religious faiths: Islam, Protestant Christianity, Roman Catholicism, Baha'i, Hinduism, Confucianism, and Buddhism. Well, on that last one, how does that work with the Pancration?
Buddhism is a non-theistic religion,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's generally non-theistic. I would say largely non-theistic. But yeah, I wonder how that works with their state ideology.
I just can't help but look at that list and think, wow, they really have a list of, like, you have must cause this much harm in the world before you're allowed into this country.
Yeah. So it's kind of like emission standards, but your emission standards must be this crap to drive on the roads.
Exactly.
I like that. Okay. That's pretty good.
I can't help but think, like, this may be petty of me, but I'm going back to something that we covered a long time ago, but Reza Aslan, who is the sort of religious writer, thinker, close.
Okay.
He certainly thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah.
But no, that's the guy you see as a pundit on Fox News talking about religion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And in general, I don't hate the guy. Like, there are a lot worse religious pundits out there. But one of the things that he talks about where he's so wrong is he always wants to talk about how moderate Muslim is the norm for Muslim countries, and he always holds up Indonesia as an example. And I'm like, here's a country that's literally the government is releasing an app to make it easier for people to report and then punish other people for believing the wrong thing.
Indonesia's been showing up in the news we report on here on this show quite a bit lately.
It seems to show up a bit more.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
it reminds me of, like, what's it, Fahrenheit 451?
Mm-hmm.
At least I've never read the book. I remember the movie.
I read the book.
Are they going to turn in the other person or not? You know,
It's an app, and unfortunately, you have to live in Indonesia in order to install it.
Do you?
Or do you?
That's what VPNs are for.
Yeah. So I downloaded it. I have it on my phone right now. And then you fire it up, and the first thing it says, do you want Smart Pakem to access your files and photos? Well, no!
I really do not.
Definitely not! Not that, like, you know what? I'll let Indonesia look at all the pictures of my cats. That's fine. You know, they might think I'm worshiping them, given what this app is about.
I was going to say, then you get arrested for following weird ancient Egyptian religions.
Yeah, yeah. It shouldn't surprise me, but yeah. So, I mean, I downloaded the APK for Android, and I slapped it on my phone. Which is not the smartest idea I ever had, but I don't put anything important on my phone other than everyone I talk to in my location. So not much, you know, I mean, not a huge security risk there. It's kind of a crap I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be like, you know, Fortnite Mobile or anything like that. it looks like it's just a front end to a website. It's probably just a wrapper around Android's built-in browser is what it looks like.
Okay.
Because it loads up like a web page. I mean, it has a splash screen where it's version 1.1. I wonder what broke. I'd like to see the change log for this app. Didn't actually fight religious freedom enough. Yeah, not suitably bigoted. So we needed a revision. I Fahrenheit 451 doesn't quite cover it. I mean, I'm getting so tired of bringing up 1984 anytime anybody does anything. It's becoming kind of a
I went on my way to not bring that one up.
Yeah. And so I was feeling that we're both trying not to talk about 1984, even though
it keeps coming up anyway.
Yeah. So it was pretty great. You fire up an app on your phone, and there's a big green button that says Fatwa. I'm like, I wonder what this does.
Like, take me to your fatwa.
Is it going to ask me to kill Salman Rushdie? How does this work? and there's only one. It is fatwa one.
Can I say, like, that's just your opinion, man?
But so, and then I tried to find the button that lets you report thought crime, but it doesn't work. So, or at least some of them, because they're interfaces to web pages. I think you have to be inside Indonesia in order to see the web page. I also don't speak the language.
Yeah, So I
have to get another phone and point it at the screen to get the Google Translate out of it, I think, is what I'm going to have to do, which is going to look awesome. Or I might try to do a localization on the app, just so I know. I know what it is. Bahasa is the language. Thank you, Becky. Bahasa Indonesia. Okay.
I feel like I have to ask somewhat tenderly, who were you going to report? Knowing that I was in the room with you at the time.
Nothing. I don't know. I was literally going to report my cats. I'm not even kidding. This cat is not suitably monotheistic. It's more autotheistic because it's a cat. But that's just the thing. So now I might have to VPN. You know, like, are there VPNs that serve Indonesia? Because I think most people are probably trying to get an internet connection out.
I'm looking at mine. Yeah, well, true.
Not in. I'm exactly the kind of person. Like, I'm the opposite of what a VPN user usually wants. Like, I want to see. I want to know what it's like to browse the internet from, I don't know, North Korea and China and Indonesia, where most people are trying to go the other way. I'm always walking the wrong way on a sidewalk.
Ooh, PIA does not have Indonesia.
Okay, well, I might have to lease a server in Indonesia, and then I don't know. I mean, is it breaking the law to falsely submit a blasphemy if you're not lying?
Are you planning on ever showing up in Indonesia anytime soon?
No.
Can you write a bot that spams their government?
God, like, get out of my head!
DDoS attack?
Are they going to...
I'm going to DDoS God!
Extraordinary rendition? Or
really extraordinary.
What does God need with a script kiddie? I could go on. I don't have much to say because I'm just getting into it now. I downloaded the app and then I got sick. So it's been on my phone for like a week and I haven't done much with it. But watch this space because I might try to do more.
You know, this is a job for Anonymous, I think.
Okay. A public college has backtracked on its request that a student remove a dormitory window sign that decried Nazis using an expletive. University of Massachusetts junior Nicole Parsons had hung the poster that read,
"Shazbot
Nazis, you are not welcome here," in response to a happy Hanukkah greeting elsewhere in the dorm being vandalized with a swastika. A residence director had emailed Parsons, urging her to remove the sign so that all students can be a part of an inclusive residential experience, as well as having a respectful environment. The university responded in a Facebook post that the poorly worded email from Residence Life staff does not reflect the values of the campus.
Poorly worded.
Yeah, I know. And emphatically rejected Nazis and other hate groups. UMass suggested that it was actually the profanity that might be viewed as inappropriate, but respected the student's right to express her views.
You know, it's when we start looking out for the, you know, the feelings of the hate groups that maybe
ACLU did it for years. You know?
Well, I mean, and here's the thing: like, there is a difference. I actually support the ACLU in that, because there is a difference between protecting a group from the government and protecting a group from like any
consequences.
Consequence whatsoever. Yeah. You know,
there you go.
You know, we're not here saying, look, guys, we really prefer to be called descendants of National Socialists. No, this is a hate group, and they don't need this college to stand up for them and make a girl's. Pull down a sign that says F Nazis. I mean, come on.
And of course, of cracker descent.
This is the fundamental paradox of being tolerant, you know?
Yeah.
Do you tolerate the intolerant?
It's not much of a paradox. It's not much of a paradox to defend one's existence. And when dealing with Nazis, I mean, that's what some people are doing. Straight up. I mean, mm-hmm. there doesn't have to be much of a moral there. When you're ranking pretty far up Maslow's hierarchy.
Yeah, well, it does seem to me that you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. Not to fall into the usual, college. I try to avoid the stupid college, modern college jokes, but
right.
We need to create a safe and nurturing space for Nazis.
If I were a student in that hallway, I would start putting out, you know, golden apples that say Callisti. <on it. laughs>
I'm stealing this joke, but I'm stealing it from Tom. What we really need to give Nazis in this environment is some living room, some breathing space, maybe some Lebensraum. And, you know, clearly the Ukraine is not like undergoing any sort of problem right now. So, it's kind of whatever.
Give them Ukraine.
That's what Germany tried to do the first time.
Well,
I get it. People don't want to walk around and see a big sign that says
Shazbot
on it. I get it. And yeah, I'm editing these out. The other side of that is, once you've come down on the side of Nazis, I think you've lost that one. You've lost this battle. The sign stays. I think we can quote the building it at that point. Like, you've kind of lost your moral high ground when saying Nazis are bad. Even if it's just poor wording, you've lost your moral high ground there. If you can't defend against this kind of hate speech, if you can't defend against swastikas and Hanukkah signs, you've lost the moral high ground. You've lost really any rights you have to control any sort of speech.
This is after apparent Nazis actually defaced somebody else's expression.
Yeah. Right.
And did they get a letter?
It would be only fair, wouldn't it?
I mean that like somewhat, you know, facetiously, but I also mean that seriously. It's like, did they take any action against the person who put a swastika on a happy Hanukkah sign? Because that's what this girl did in response. And this is the only response that
wouldn't be news. This is news. This part of it.
It would be interesting
to know.
I will credit this girl. I was reading in the article. She did say they took down the sign at the request of her roommate. She's like, look, we're just getting way too much attention for this. Can we just take this down? But she's like, I'm putting it on my wall and I'm moving off campus and I'm going to keep the sign for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. Like, this girl deserves all the props for this. It's amazing.
Well, and part of the reason we know about her is that she had the, you know, she put it on her dorm room. She took credit for the sign. One presumes that the Nazis, in this case, the white supremacists, the persons of cracker descent, did not perhaps put this on their dorm room.
No, probably not. Maybe they did it while wearing like a hood of some sort, you know, protect their identity.
Quite possibly.
I'm sorry, am I mixing my racist groups?
I don't know.
Not by much.
they all kind of seem a bit samey once you get this far away. So just not much to say about it. I just, like, I don't know, like, you're in loco parentis when you're a university. That's the word, right? I don't speak a lot of Latin.
The university acts like your parent.
Right. And there is a swastika on a Hanukkah sign, and somebody responds with a heart, you know, a very heartfelt F you to the Nazis, and this needs to be a safe and nurturing space where you're not allowed to say Nazis are bad. What? Okay, you've moral high ground gone. That's so dumb.
Right.
Email. Speaking of moral high ground, Jonathan Utah. Hey, how's it going? Do humanists have a moral duty to protect the rights of AI, cyborgs, non-biological intelligences, or alien intelligence? I'm gonna go down the line. Start with Dave.
Well, there's a lot of different questions here because, okay, so AI is like, what does the A stand? No, artificial intelligence. Like, right. I believe we're still a ways off from passing a Turing test anytime soon, right?
Like, I don't know. Those bots that want to argue with me on Facebook, sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've gotten the robocalls from what 2 years ago seemed like surprisingly realistic sounding AI, and now seems like you're a robot, stop talking to me.
Right.
Like, it doesn't take long. AI is not to the level where I think that any protections needed. Cyborg implies, like, a human intelligence behind it. Like, that's just replacing some body parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, cyborgs, yes. AI, not sure. Non-biological intelligence, there is a... I want to come back to this one real fast, or in a moment. But then we get to alien intelligence, which I feel like it's their responsibility to protect themselves, since they're not here.
Okay.
Like, they are under no threat from us, and so if they have their own sort of personal threats to their autonomy, then there's nothing we can do about that because of the laws of physics. So,
right.
So I don't feel a moral duty because laws of physics.
Okay.
So, but that brings me back to non-biological intelligence. And I have heard a lot of arguments about, you know, non-human sapience,
mm-hmm,
and sentience when you're talking about things like dolphins, when you're talking about things like great apes.
Those are clearly alive, you know, those are living, sentient, they have emotions, you know, animals.
Right. And it's the two things, and these are two words that have very important shades of meanings. There's sentience and sapience. Sentience means that, and I may get this wrong, so please, somebody correct me if I do.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Dan, if you're listening, you know, please straighten me out here. But as I understand it, sentience is showing autonomy. You know, like a cat has sentience because it's going to go where it wants. It's certainly not going to stay where you put it if you've ever had a cat. Like, that just doesn't happen. Sapience is awareness of your own intelligence, awareness of your own surroundings. Like, you show that you actually understand your reactions and other people and things like that, other beings like that. And if something can show sentience and sapience, then the argument is then it is deserving of protection as a non-humanoid person.
Okay.
So I'm not sure I agree with that, but I think it's a really interesting discussion to have. And that's somewhere where you start really getting in the weeds and hearing really good, very shaded arguments. And I'm not willing to plant a flag on either side there, but I'm also not willing to say either side is wrong either. It's just there's a fascinating conversation to be had there.
Yeah, I think we can define what, you know, amounts to AI or any of these other terms he used. When you haven't actually invented one yet, or one that has gotten to the point where you have to worry about this right this second, you know, it doesn't mean much. As these things come up in real life, you know, you cross that bridge and you come to it. Anybody doing it through university, you know, it's going to be looked at very closely, you know,
right,
by the ethics bodies and things that universities have developed over the years. That said, I don't know. We how much do we protect the cattle we eat and things? You know, I mean, there's some kind of line there. And what happens if they're trying to when the AI is trying to kill us? You know,
right? Well, that's just it. I have weird opinions on AI, but when it comes to something like this, I don't really... The reason I go last here is I don't think it's that complex. Yeah, pretty much. That's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a lot of there for me. I get that it's not a responsibility to protect against like alien intelligences in absentia. I get that. But in the hypotheticals, if we ever meet an alien intelligence, I think, you know, if they come visit, then I think they should be granted some level of personhood. If they want it, I guess. I don't know. It brings up a little bit of Douglas Adams, where what happens when you meet a cow that wants you to eat it? You know, what's the morality there?
I'll be your dinner tonight.
Yeah, exactly. As far as, like, I am actually a little bit uncomfortable in the future with the term humanist, because I don't think it goes far enough. I mean, I actually... my only dietary rules, I don't eat anything that can start a culture. That's my, and I don't mean like a culture.
You eat yogurt.
Yeah. I eat a lot of stuff made with that kind of culture.
You're talking about a culture of a community culture.
Right. Yeah. Anything. So I tend to avoid squid. Definitely like ahi. I'm certainly not going to eat an orangutan anytime soon. And not people, but that's more for health reasons.
If you don't eat squid and squid don't eat you, is that a squid pro quo?
Wow. Summoning Dan. Yeah, I don't think it's not a particularly hard question for me, because I'd say anything that's sort of my level. I've thought about it, and it's sort of where I put it right now. Pending further research and further thought on the matter, if it's capable of forming some sort of culture and having personhood, then it is a person. And
now the thing I wonder is, I mean, when it comes to we're creating these intelligences and things,
yeah.
You know, sure, if it's going through university and all, but I don't know, there's an awful lot that might be going on.
Yeah,
you know, that is completely unregulated, and what is actually happening?
Right, and there's also, like, you brought up self-defense. I don't care if a person is trying to kill me, I'm going to respond in some way. You know, okay, I might call the cops, but I'll be that guy. But, you know, like, I'm not gonna... You got to take care of yourself. I think that's not much of a question, but I am enough of a science fiction fan to get all speculative about it, and I've spent some time thinking about it, and all those words just kind of end up being pretty much. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-753-7842. We're gonna go to the break, and then we're gonna talk about that virus thing, because I think we might have some words about that.
Listeners, would you like to be rich beyond your wildest dreams? The fastest kid in school? More sexy than Freddie Mercury? Smarter than Albert Einstein? More popular than Donald Trump? Well, buy Squid Ink. The product will make your dreams come true and change your life forever. Available at Camp Quest limited time offer. See Camp Quest for more details. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Side effects may include tentacle appendages, allergic reactions, puking, diarrhea, and possible death. Please see your doctor if side effects occur while drinking Squid Ink. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And I queued up Ask a Metalhead, and we're not actually talking about the president, because, I'm kind of done talking about him. I mean, what do you say about the guy?
I'm sure there'll be more over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, like, when I've been calling it Mueller or Mueller Moss, other people have been calling it Snitchmas. You know, when that happens, I'm sure we'll be talking about it before. There is one question that I posed on Facebook that I might pose here, which is, let's pretend that he's not colluding with Russia. Let's pretend that he's had no communications with Russia whatsoever. But you are a Russian intelligence guy, and your job is to extract resources from this president. What have you not gotten? I mean, you had a pretty good year this year.
Yeah.
Like, what, and my question isn't, is he colluding? That's not for me to say. I'll wait for the...
Well, who needs to collude if they're getting all these things?
Right. Like, what's next? Like, he's done everything I've thought of doing. Like, what, I think all that's left is handing over the launch codes on a floppy disk. Which is how I would do
it. Could they still use
a floppy disk? Maybe he has.
Yeah. Think about that. Or, better yet, don't. A French teen injected himself with DNA translations of the Hebrew Bible and Quran in a symbolic attempt to bridge rebellion... No. Religion and science. Adrian Locatelli assigned Hebrew and Arabic letters to each of the four nucleotides that compose DNA and translated verses from the holy texts into custom DNA strands that he ordered from the company's vector builder and proteogenics. After both strands were self-injected, Locatelli suffered a minor allergic reaction to the novel proteins. He uploaded a draft of an experiment to an open website to allow for peer review. Locatelli noted the injection of macromolecules, whose primary structure is developed from religious texts, is largely symbolic.
Yeah, this was a scientific open website for peer review.
I would presume so.
I kind of wonder if it would be better if he
Christian news.
Yeah, I mean, if he uploaded it to a I don't know, an art journal or something, because
yeah,
it almost seems like performance art.
I thought this was performance art. Well, okay, first I thought it was like somebody just dorking around with CRISPR. You know, I was like, oh, okay, well, I have this now. I have access to it. I'm just gonna translate some religious books. You know, into viruses and eat them.
He had to synthesize this from scratch.
Yeah, but he farmed it out. The actual synthesis. It looks like he designed it. You know, probably with a Perl script or something, and then just handed it over to proteogenics and whatnot to create the stuff. And then once I found out that he didn't do it himself, I'm like, oh, then this is clearly performance art. But then. Yeah, so I don't understand what this is.
What is the experiment here?
Like, there isn't really an experiment. This isn't, I mean, there's no point. It's more the concept of, if I inject the word, you know, do I become the word? And I mean, that's...
What are the nucleotides for bird?
Well, you know, one thing it dawns on me, though, is if he injected this and he had an inflammatory response to that DNA, he now has... anti-theistic antibodies, okay?
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Oh, that's great!
Uh-huh.
This guy's actually allergic to God! That's beautiful! You've completely changed my mind about this!
Where do I get these injections?
I know! Because this, you know, there's some of these stories I've been waiting all day, you know, to talk about, like the app to share it in your friends. This one, I was like, I saw this on my news feed, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of dumb. And then I just sort of got on with my day, and then but he made antibodies. I didn't think about that. That's a huge context shift for me. That's amazing. I don't know what that means, but it's funny.
It's fun to think about.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I mean,
biocomedy.
I think it's he probably just wanted to get people, you know, waxing philosophical about this anyway. I mean, the whole concept of, you know, our cells take some sort of instruction set and carry them out. Okay. Isn't that different than what people are looking for? We're looking for, give me the instruction set that I can carry out to make life good, you know?
Right.
And which is what our cells do, and it's just kind of what religion offers to do. And matter of fact, they say, no, not only do we have a good instruction set, we have the ultimate instruction set.
Yeah.
If you carry this out, you know, all the things are going to happen for you, you know? And it's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true, but all of spirituality is trying to find the right instruction set that, what can I do, you know?
Right.
And if you get it right, you get on the right track, it's, you know, you get a little enlightened, I guess.
This is one of those philosophical conversations that just sort of misses me. It's like, hey, I turned these books into, you know, I got inoculated against Abrahamic scriptures. It's a philosophical thing. I don't get it.
To the degree that the DNA got into his cells, you know, through the virus or whatever, unless it's a retrovirus they put it in, it ain't going to get into his big, you know, his main DNA, his chromosomes.
Right.
And B, it's going to, the cellular machinery are just going to translate it into gibberish peptides. You know, it's not going to make a protein. It's not going to make it just, it is carrying out nonsense, which is also symbolic.
Is it weird that I actually
fold this, God?
Is it weird that, like, it's such a low bar for when I hear stories like this that I actually do want to give this guy some credit for saying, no, this is largely symbolic. This was a thing. It doesn't actually do anything. Like, if Ken Ham or Ray Comfort did this, they would actually start making claims about how they are healthier and going to live longer because they did this thing. That there is an actual physical element to this. So this guy is like, no, it was just a thing I did.
Reading one of the articles, it did seem that he kind of said, this doesn't really have much scientific value. I mean, he didn't say those exact words, but
he basically put it
basically
that way.
Said that.
So he's not crazy.
Foolish about it. Well, right. Not too foolish.
I mean, you got to admit, this would be a pretty good Doctor Who plot. Like, imagine if it was a retrovirus and then he started, like, mutating into religious books. Ooh. And then other people caught religious books. And then you basically have a Grey Goo scenario with religious books.
Talking the word of God, you know.
And then demons come out and it's great. And then Pinhead shows up. I have such sights to show you.
Think there'd be any profit in that?
On the other hand, this is fairly similar to an argument that I've made about people, is that there is this force that pervades our world. It is everywhere. It is inside you to a certain extent right now. Anything that's capable of receiving energy receives this energy. It surrounds us. It pervades us. It's nigh unstoppable without high technology. It's called pornography.
I was going to say, if the word midichlorians comes up, I'm going to be very upset.
One time I actually just borrowed, like, I just read and then I swapped it up and said pornography. It's like, because we have satellite television on this planet, and it is in fact most of it is encrypted, but a lot of those satellites carry pornographic content. And so there is people having sex being beamed at your head right from geosynchronous orbit and out to the aliens. The dispersion on that, the dispersal on that is because those satellites, they only put out like 10 or 15 watts, so it would fade out pretty, like, I don't know that it would even make it out of the solar system before it just hits the background noise.
It didn't much more than that the Voyagers are broadcasting on, are they? They're way out there.
We're not broadcasting porn, though.
Fair point.
Well, true.
Unless
it is a fairly wide band signal, where Voyager is fairly narrow band.
Unless Carl Sagan had a very different sense of humor than I give him credit for.
There were naked people on that.
Apparently, he did. if you've read about the guy, I'm an RF guy. Radio is my thing. And then it just occurred to me once I was helping somebody install their satellite dish is that there's pornography, encrypted pornography, coursing through my body at this moment. That's creepy. Super creepy. I mean, okay, granted, you know, your skin shields a bit of it. We're not perfectly
transparent. This is like injecting.
Yeah, you know, there's a similarity here. Yeah, we've already got the porn. We might as well get the Gideon Bible while we're at it. Let's get the whole hotel deal. All we need is a way to inject a wet bar and we're done. And maybe a bed that you can't sleep on. I'm making a joke.
Benefit from other people's tithing? can I get that one?
You want the Benny Hinn injection? Is what you're saying? I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm really not going to think about that anymore.
In the context of what you were just saying, those words are not the best choice.
So this kind of plays into that. We have another email from the Klingon Emperor of the North Pole. Kapla? Whatever. No, Kapla. Right, that's it. What's the atheist position on cloning and genetic modification? And genetic superhumans, yay or nay? I'm going to start with Tom.
Well, you know, this isn't that different from the first question, artificial intelligence, cloning. We are starting to clone, if not people, then other organisms and maybe people, if you listen to the recent news about the Chinese scientist.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an atheist position per se. I just think you need to be ethical about it. And that means, you know, what's my opinion? I got an opinion. Again, it's any body that has the resources to do this needs to have the ethical panels to look at the individual questions as they come up.
Right.
And do a yay or nay. You know, is this a good idea? Is this next step a good idea? because it's awfully complicated, and I don't think you can answer it, you know, looking down, you know, looking at a telescope at it, you know, from far away. You need to do it right up close and personal.
So this is this. So what you're saying is that this is a bit like GM, like it's basically the GMO debate, which is you can't make a blanket statement about the usefulness of a concept.
Exactly. Now, in terms of the philosophy, I kind of follow what Stuart Brand of, you know, Whole Earth fame said a long time ago is, you know, anymore we are as gods and we better get good at it.
Yeah.
In other words, don't screw around with it. Do it right.
Yeah.
You know, because when we're not going to have a lot of choice. I mean, you know, if there is a genie in a bottle, it is going to get out. It just doesn't matter. Even if you can imagine the genie in the bottle, it will be made and it will get out. So you got to get good at it. You got to deal with it.
I do want to echo the point, like, when you say, what's the atheist position? I say,
yeah. What does that even
have you,
mean?
How many atheists have you met?
Yes. Yeah. but my position on, okay, genetic modification, well, it's a tool. It can be used for good and bad. I think using it for good is a good thing. Using it for bad is a bad thing. That's a real hot take there.
Yeah, jeez. Way to be controversial.
The last I read about that Chinese scientist is he has disappeared and might be under arrest in China.
Oh.
4th of December is the most recent thing I read about him.
Right. But when it comes to cloning, like, when you look at the potential not of cloning entire people, I don't see the point in that. I see cloning organs. Mm-hmm. I see clone, you know, the medical uses. If you can clone an organ and you don't have to wait on a donor and you don't have to worry about, you know, rejection in transplants and all that sort of stuff. Wow, that sounds amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I do think that is the future of medical technology. And I think, like, religious sensibilities only get in the way of that when they start talking about it. It's like, well, what about the soul? It's like, well, why do we need to talk about that? Why do I need
to define soul?
Why do I need to justify a medical treatment to your belief system?
Like, right.
I didn't ask for that belief system. So I think cloning actually has a lot of great potential. Genetic superhumans? I feel like there's a consent issue there. Like, if someone consents to be a genetic superhuman, okay, let them. If genetic superhumans stop letting regular humans have full access to society because of it, well, they didn't consent to that. I'm not okay with it.
Or to try and be a genetic superhuman. That's,
well, you know.
We aren't there yet.
I have tried gamma rays. I have tried radioactive spiders. I have tried, like, really? these things, like, they just make you throw
green?
Up. They make you throw up a lot. I got no superpowers out of any of them. Like, there's a lot of cancer.
No, but your hair grew back. So is that. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out the fact that somebody's asking us for the atheist position, because there is none. You know, the only thing it takes to be an atheist is not to believe in one specific thing. The fact that it's a word and it's a controversial word is, I think, ultimately kind of stupid, which is the whole point of this show. So you're getting three positions on it, but we're markedly similar. I am pro-GMO. I'm going to, like, I don't often disagree with Dan when it comes to his wheelhouse, which is, you know, the environment and stuff like that. But I feel like in some certain respects, that ship has already sailed. We've screwed up the environment pretty bad. We're doing nothing about it. It's going to get worse. We're going to lose a lot of stuff. It's going to get super worse before it's going to get way worse before it gets better. We're going to need these tools. We are absolutely going to need these tools if human society as we behold it has any chance of continuing. Now, I am an optimist. We have these tools. We're going to use them, and I believe ultimately we're going to use them properly, and we're going to do a good job with it, because in the main, very slowly, over thousands of years, things have gotten better and not worse. And that's That right there is the singular sentence which drives me away from most religions, which is their concept, even among some of your hippie or dippier religions, is that things are constantly getting worse. You can't fight entropy. People are less nice now than they were before. People are mean and need to fill something in order to be better, when the opposite is absolutely the case.
Well, you get, you know, right this minute, it's getting worse, but in the grand scheme, you know, the long arc, it's getting better.
That's exactly my point, is, yeah, things are, it's pretty stupid out there right now. If I were doing a psycho forecast for the United States, I'd say there's stupid fronts everywhere, you know. We're sort of a stupid hurricane is hitting the West Coast, and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's so many stories that we didn't do this week because we got a bit more philosophical. But in the main, I think things will improve. But I think if we're going to, you know, we have to use these technologies in order for things to improve. Throughout the 19th and 20th century, we kept hearing about the Malthusian crisis, which is coming, that eventually we're just going to outstrip the resource of this planet. We're not going to be able to feed everyone. But every time that conversation begins to creep in, some Borlaug guy shows up and changes everything up. That's technology. We are dependent on our technology now. The society as we know it now is dependent on this kind of technology. Maybe it's not at the gene level, but we've been modifying plants for thousands of years. If we're going to continue, if we're going to need these tools, and we're going to need to start using them not just on plants, but on animals and probably on people.
We got to get good at it.
And we have to get good at it. You're absolutely right. So I'm in favor of it. Wouldn't it be nice if we could edit cancer out? Wouldn't it be nice if we could... maybe drop fertility a little bit, but extend, you know, lifespans or something like that. Like, these are, you know, what's the morality there? What's the question there? I might be in favor of it, but to another person, it might be terrifying. So we have to talk about these, and we can't just make blanket statements. We need to consider every question as it comes up, just like you do when you're driving a car. And we need to give this at least as much attention as I do driving a car, which is essentially the point of the exercise, is to not die. This is Ask an Atheist, this was Ask an Atheist, at least for this week. Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, my pleasure.
Our website is atheist.radio. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. Our website is atheist.tv. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Thanks, everybody, who took part in Ask an Atheist this year, from writing to being on the show to helping out in the studio to writing the music. 2019 is going to be amazing, and I'll see you then.